being that today is Motzei Tisha B'Av, and what second? Not Motzei Tisha, it's like the week after Tisha B'Av. So that means today is, what's today? 14th of Av, which means tomorrow is Tu B'Av.
No, Tu B'Av's Friday.
Friday is Tu B'Av.
My anniversary.
Huh. Happy anniversary. Anyway, so I thought I would share with you a Mishnah, which is a very famous Mishnah, about what they used to do on Tu B'Av.
So my meditation, is this the one?
It is?
The cover of
my meditation. I'm Shimon Megamliel.
That's
right. There were no days in Israel like joyous days, like the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. I don't know why they picked those, I guess, after Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. What happened? The girls of Yerushalayim would go around in their white, in borrowed white dresses. Beautiful. Right. So that they would embarrass, meaning everyone would borrow a white dress from someone else. And they would all remember, they were practicing al taharat hakodesh. Everybody was tahor. So therefore, whenever you borrowed a dress, the dress first didn't have to just be washed, it had to be tovel, to make sure that the dress was tahor before you could use it. You don't think of clothing has to be tahor also, not just...
There wasn't imun the way there is with kashrut.
Well, you didn't know because since you were borrowing, everyone was borrowing from everybody else, so that therefore everything required tefillah. Because you also didn't want to not trust. You know what I'm saying? It was like a blanket rule. Why do clothing need to be tahor?
Yeah.
They lived with tahara. Everything has to be tahor.
It was a whole. Dishes,
that's right. It was a whole different way of everything. Everything had to be tahor. Everything.
And you lived. We
have
to convince ourselves we really actually want to go back to that.
Yeah, for other reasons too. Ubnot Yerushalayim yotzot v'cholot bakramim, and the daughters of Jerusalem would go out. And
dance
in the vineyards. Umahayu omri, then what would they say? Bachur, sa'na einecha u're'e, ma'ata v'relecha. And they would call out and say, young man, look up and pick. Choose something nice. Al t'einecha b'noi, tein einecha b'mishpacha. Don't look at beauty, look at the family. Sheker hachein ve'ever ha'yofi, isha yirat Hashem, hi titalal. Ve'omer t'nu la mipri yadea, v'yihalu b'shari ma'aseha. Very nice. The girls would go out and dance. They do the whatever. They would call out to the young men, probably make googly eyes at whatever guy they had their eye on. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And the men would... There's another way to say it.
Respond or not.
Come and watch. They come and watch them dance. And, you know... The funny thing is, don't look at the beauty. But obviously, what are you dancing for? If you don't look at the beauty, what are you dancing for? Anyway, I love to read this Mishnah because I hope to ask a fundamental and fun question. Imagine today, if, I don't know, let's say, pick an organization. Pick a mainstream organization. Okay? No, Israel. Yad Ben Tzvi, or Yad Ezra, or Yad Eliezer. Wait, some organization is going to say, we're going back to our roots. We're going to have the dance of the Mecholot of the Na'arot in the Kramim of Yerushalayim on such and such a day. We invite all the girls to borrow white dresses from one another. We invite all the boys to come and watch. All the bachurot, you know, the midrashot, the sherut leumi, and you know, all the girls in the michlalot should now come and dance. And all the boys in the yeshivot is there, and wherever you're doing, university, whatever, come watch and pick a nice girl. Okay, what would happen?
Cherem.
Right, cherem, you know. They'd put them in cherem, they would...
There would be a total uproar.
Total
from both
uproar.
Sides.
From which sides?
From both sides. Girls who, of course, don't do things like that in front of boys.
Right.
And
the
boys wouldn't complain.
Yeah.
The boys wouldn't complain.
Yeah.
They'd be
the
like,
yeah. Well, no, but you've got boys who think that the girls are meant to go to the back of the bus.
Yeah, but I don't know how terrible they would be. They would hide behind the
Rosh Yeshiva.
Whatever.
No, I'd rather the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva said, go. They would go. You're right. They would complain. No, they would. No, we're not going to do this. It's not appropriate. It's not. Da, da, da. I have a question. I just read you a Mishnah. So we all agree that this would never happen today. Could never happen today. Totally inappropriate.
Yeah, but I don't understand how it happened then.
I just read you a Mishnah. Right? So this isn't like, you know, some midrash, you know, found in an obscure version of a Yalkut Shimoni that you could say, nah, it never really happened.
I never understood how it happened then either.
What does that tell you? The fact that you can't even understand how it happened back then.
That society is so different.
Yeah. So different.
That's why I had no problem with the shiur, with the rab, with the boys and girls together.
You had no problem?
Shiur.
Yeah. Okay.
My issue was that it was 10:30 at night. I would rather it was 4:30 in the afternoon.
I actually didn't have a problem with the shiur either. It's more what's going to happen before or after. Anyway, I don't want to...
But I'm...
Yeah. I want to... What happened? Like... We're so different. What happened? So I mentioned this...
Wait, what do you mean we're so different? Isn't it halakha?
Okay. So I mentioned it this morning. So I said, why is it that if we... In shul to a couple of people davening around me, why is it if we tried to do this today, there would be such an uproar? And so they said... So people tried to explain. You know, we obviously... Every generation has its issues, and we obviously are different than that generation, and what might have been appropriate then, it's not appropriate now. Does that work for you?
No,
does that help
no.
you? No. So why can't we do it? Why is there an uproar? And let's ask a different question. Is it right? Is it right?
Isn't it black and white halacha? There's no machloket about it.
What do you mean?
About this?
About
this? Dance
in front of a man. Yeah, totally,
also. Okay.
Right. Except, of course, where the Mishnah seems to say that it's okay. I guess it's for tachlis, maybe. I don't know. But if you know what I'm saying, how would you pick?
Like, we're not talking about an issue where there is machloket and there's flexibility and it depends on your circle.
I can't imagine a religious, I mean today, meaning if you had this, I can't imagine a religious community that would approve. From the most modern to the most... Yeah, who would say, no, that's okay. But why not? What happened? What happened that in the Mishnah it was seen as... That said, Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael. It wasn't just seen as like, well, you know, what are you going to do? We have a shidduch crisis, and how else are we going to get the girls and the boys to meet? So, whatever.
It was
yamim tovim shebi Yisrael. It was, you know, beautiful. It was terrific. It was wonderful.
But where did the whole thing about men not seeing women? I mean, they're fully dressed.
Yes.
But it's not like there's anything necessarily.
There is an Easter if you stop it. There is an Easter. It's prohibited to look, to gaze at a woman sexually.
I know.
But I don't know what they're doing if they're dancing. Like, you know what I'm saying? If it's tachlis, I guess, you're allowed to.
But if you, like all of them,
they would all borrow, they would all go out and dance. It's just very strange.
So this is gaze at a woman sexually. But since when is a man looking at a woman anytime considered always sexual?
It's not. I don't think it is.
But that's exactly the problem.
But this case, all purpose was marriage, so there is that element to it. That's what makes it so complicated.
Right, there is it, right.
But it's one element, it's not the only element, it's not.
But it's an element that's purely other. Even al esfak pana.
Yeah, you're not allowed to.
You want to make your family and life with this considered sexual?
No.
There's a fine line.
That's the only thing that they're thinking of.
Right. So some would suggest, some would say, back then they knew how to look at the woman as for marriage, but not to say. That's hard to imagine. I mean, really, you're like, men are men. What?
That's a single step.
Correct.
You have men looking at women.
Correct. Singles events are not considered. I mean, okay, if you're like a certain age or whatever, we don't do it lechatchila. That's not who you get our young men and women to meet, right? Well, after a certain age, we say, "No, what are you going to do?" They have to go to singles events.
Certainly.
Really, when they come back for the michlala, we set them up in the singles event. We have speed dating for everybody.
Make them to take place, but they take place in very religious communities.
Do they?
I think so.
Sometimes it's the girls with the boys' mothers.
Do they? I wouldn't know. I mean, I only live in our community.
Were promoted by shuls. There were rabbis speaking at them.
Okay, but sometimes it's. Sometimes
and there were. I would.
Areas,
so this is a very interesting topic of discussion.
Where it's the girls are there and the potential husbands.
In the oldest single community.
But I want to use this. You'll tell me later. I want to use this as a springboard for a much larger discussion, with even more, which is even more challenging and somewhat more troubling. So we're going to do the very beginning of Beit Chanan. Moshe says, or like Hashem said, Beit Chanan begins with Moshe and says, "I begged Hashem to let me go into Eretz Yisrael," and I'm going to beg Eretz Yisrael.
But the whole thing of Hashem
said no. Yeah.
The whole thing of whether men seeing women dance at all, right? Like even if you go to a wedding or something, like it, that's something that has changed, and does change, like different parts of the community. You know, what kind of mechitzah you have, or if you have a mechitzah or not.
I think to a large degree,
it's something that I can imagine.
One wonders if one would look at a wedding, a Jewish wedding in the shtetl, like 200 years ago, But the women clearly, and somebody danced. Did the women dance at all? I don't know. Did
they
women dance with the kala? The men danced. What?
In the 50s and 60s in America, the big rabbis had weddings without makusa.
Oh, 100%.
How did that happen? So the men didn't look at the women.
Well, no, come on. Even if you did, I mean, let's be honest. Whatever, I don't want to get into that discussion. So Hashem says to Moshe, I did, we're going to, I want to. Hashem says to Moshe, sorry, you don't get to go into Eretz Canaan. Rather, it's going to be Yoshua. We're going to start in Perek Gimel Pasuk Kav Chet, almost at the very beginning of the parsha. Perek Gimel Pasuk Kav Chet. Vitzav et Yoshua v'chazkehu v'amzehu. Command Yoshua and strengthen him and give him omets, give him bravery. That's how we would translate omets today. He will pass before the nation and he will inherit them the land which you will see. Hashem said to Moshe, he will inherit them the nation that you will see. Okay? Moshe says the following, Chavtet. Vaneshe bagai mul beit por. And we sat in the guy, in the valley. Even, you know, right? The guy opposite Beit Peor. Just throwing that in there. I'm going to point out it's a very interesting part of Vaneshev Bagai Mul Beit Peor. Let's just give you a geographical point of view. Like, why is that relevant?
Well, Beit Peor was the source of their
down. Correct. So Moshe is going to play that up, but it's just important to know that he's not just we don't just tell you where we were, right? Because the backdrop, remember, they're at Eber HaYarden, right? And Moshe is going to switch. So until now, he spoke a lot about don't be afraid. But now the whole tone shifts from don't be afraid to the source of your success in Eretz Canaan, in Eretz Yisrael, will be your adherence to the mitzvot.
And avoiding things like
Beit Peor, right? He went from, it's so interesting. It's a real strong dual message. The success of the Jewish people depends on the one hand on their ability and their willingness and their confidence and their ability to fight with Hashem protecting them. And B, they're deserving that protection because they follow the Torah, because they adhere to the standard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets for them. So we're going to read the first four psukim, and then we'll come back. Four psukim. Ve'ata Yisrael. Shema el hachukim ve'al hamishpatim asher anochi melamed etchem la'asod. And now, O Israel, hear the chukim, statutes and the mishpatim, laws, that I command you to do. Leman tichyu. Uvatem v'yivishtem et ha'aretz asher Hashem elokei avotechem naten lachem. So that you shall live, and you will come and inherit the land that Hashem, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Okay? You want to inherit the land? What do you have to do, basically? Follow the mitzvot. Pasuk bet. Lo tosifu al hadavar asher anochi mitzaveh etchem velo tigru'u mimenu. Do not add on to that thing which I command you, and do not tigru'u. What is tigru'u? Detract from it. Nishmor mitzvot Hashem elokichem asher anochi mitzaveh etchem. We'll come back in a second. I want to read the four psukim. To follow the commandments of Hashem that I command you. Einechem haro'ot et asher asah Hashem b'Baal Peor. Now we know why he's talking about Baal Peor. You with your own eyes saw which Hashem said, did in Baal Peor. Ki chol ha'ish asher halach achrei Baal Peor, hishmido Hashem elokecha mikirbecha. Everyone who followed Baal Peor, what did Hashem do?
Destroyed him.
Vatem hadrekim b'Hashem elokechem, chayim kulchem hayom. And you who cling to God, you are all, Baruch Hashem, still with us. You're still with us. Okay, in essence, at its simplest level, what is Moshe Rabbeinu telling Jewish people in this very short, what is the basic statute? What is the basic mitzvah that he says to them, don't do? No. Baal Peor, what was the sin of Baal Peor? Right, Avodah Zarah, right. Arayot led to Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that's the essence. But that's only on its face value. So the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu says, and he says it over and over and over again, because, of course, he realizes that's their downfall, right? Don't do Avodah Zarah. Don't do Avodah Zarah. Everything else, it seems, in the context of that, is gravy. You know what I'm saying? Really.
That's really the worst thing you can do.
It's the worst thing you can do, and it's the thing that's going to get you kicked out of it. I mean, we say it every day in Shema. Im shamar tishmu, right? Hishamru lachem, hen yifteh levavchem, besartem v'avadetem, alavim acherim. you worship other gods, you're out. Goodbye. Okay? That's it. Everything else? Okay, I mean, it could get worse. It could get bad. You know, it says in the first Beit HaMikdash, what did they do? The second one, much more complicated. But Chachamim say that they had gotten rid by that time of the Ta'aba for Avodah Zarah. But on this face value, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, don't do Avodah Zarah. And he's going to say it over and over and over again. Don't do Avodah Zarah. Don't do Avodah Zarah. But that's not all he says. He says a lot of things. Okay? Let's go back to Pasuk Bet, because this is the Pasuk that I wanted to focus on today. Lo tosifu al hadavar asher anochi metzaveh etchem, velo tigru mimenu. Don't add to that which I have commanded you, and do not detract from it, do not take away from it. Lishmor mitzvot Hashem Elokechem asher anochi metzaveh etchem, to follow the commandments that I give you. So what does this mean?
This is
Baal Tosif.
This is not the first time we have this, right?
Where does it appear?
The time we have Baal Tosif, isn't it? Elsewhere in the Torah, and this is just a repeat of it?
I don't think so. That could explain something that can you find it? I don't remember.
The wording is lo tosifun velo tigrun. That's why I thought that this isn't it. Unless maybe I'm just in my head thinking
it. Lo tigru. Are you familiar? I don't know. Can you check? I am not familiar. I don't deny that possibility. Uh-huh. That would explain a lot, because I looked in the Chinuch and I couldn't find here where he quotes this as a mitzvah. I'm not sure. I think this is it.
You think this is it?
I thought that this was it. Let's look at Rashi for a second. We're going to do Rashi. We're going to do some Midrashim. But then we're going to ask some hard questions. First question is, the limitations of, or the boundaries of Baal Tosifu, Lo Tosifu?
Well, that's always
going to
be a question.
What can you add if you can't add? Okay.
But then they do put like Gadol.
What?
Rabbanim do have.
Very good.
You know,
that is the question. That is one of the major questions, which is, if Hashem said don't add, the vast majority of the things that we do are additions that Chazal came up with. Vast majority. Most of Hilchot Shabbat are Gederot that we, the Chazal, instituted in order to prevent us from violating Isurei Shabbat. Did they not add? I mean, those are Dinei Durabanan. Is that not an addition? Is that not some kind, you know what I'm saying, a violation of Lo Tosifun? And if...
Is it thing to know what's an addition and what's the Kav?
What?
So we're going to
grapple with that. All the Mefarshim are going to grapple with that. Let's add another question. Why not Lo Tosifun?
There's no end to that.
What?
There's no end to that.
And you lose the origin of the law. What is the correct law?
Let me ask
you. This guy says 5, this guy says 6, and who knows that it's really
No, it says in the Torah. So the Torah says, right, the Torah says 4, but let's look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Lo Tosifun, kmo chamesh parshiot betfilin. Right? What is Rashi grappling with? Or chameshet minim belulav v'chamesh tzitziot. The Torah says 4. It says 4 species of lulav. So what Rashi is doing, quoting Chazal, something very, very interesting. So what is the what are the parameters of Baal Tosif, of Lo Tosifun?
Extremely defined.
Ah, something that's very good. See, Rashi is actually...
It's extremely defined and you leave it as it is.
Because not Machina Chumina here. Rashi's answering our question. Ah, how can we add? Says, no, that's not Baal Tosif. What the Torah is really saying is, don't fundamentally alter the mitzvah that Hashem defines for you. Right, but what that does is, like, let me ask a different question. What's the root of Lo Tosifu? Why does Moshe say Lo Tosifu? Why not? Well, I want to add. Why? I know what Hashem said. Hashem said X, but I want to do X plus Y because I have such love for God. Let's say, for example, I have such love.
At some point, you end up out, you know. A person who learns a lot would know what the Torah says and what the extra things are, but somebody
right.
else wouldn't.
Well, I mean, you have that all the time. Well, you can say so that because people might do things wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong, but all Dinei Derabanan, many, many, many of them are because people might see you do something and think that it's okay to do.
It got them into trouble in Ganeza.
Very good. How?
He said, "Don't eat that fruit, and he said, God said, don't touch. And then he said, oh, well, God said this, and then let's see what happens. And
so you're saying that when you add, in essence, what happens?
I think, I said before, I think you lose the original commandment, because then it gets confusing as to what's actually...
So adding is, in essence, detracting.
Taking away from what really is the
concept. Okay, let's look at something we're going to start looking at Mefarshim. Look at Kliyakar for a second. You have Kliyakar? Yeah, you do. Kliyakar. Okay. Lo tosipu. Lo tosipu. Says Kliyakar. Bishlama lo tosipu. Shapir ka'amar. I understand why it says not to add. Why? Kisalka ta'itach amina, I might think, shiyesh bichlal matayim manet. Right? That included in 200 is 100. God said do 100, I add 200. So I'm not only doing what God said, I'm doing God plus. So I understand why the Torah says don't add to the Torah. Why Moshe says don't add. Avaloti gru'u lamali. Why do I need Moshe to tell me, loti gru'u, do not detract? Right, if I take away, the Torah says, add, have three tzitziot, and I say, I have four tzitziot, and I say, no, I only want three. So am I fulfilling the mitzvah?
No.
So, like, why do I need Moshe to tell me not to take away from the rules of the Torah? That I know. So he says, I understand why it says that I'm supposed to add.
It's in Re'eh.
It's later on in Re'eh. But does it appear in the mitzvah in Re'eh? So why does he include it? Why doesn't he do it over here? Why doesn't he do it in Bet Chanan?
I don't know. Because
lo tosif or lo tigra mimenu. Yeah, right. It's later on in Re'eh. Okay, so I have to look at it later. Okay. Here, look at what he says. I was looking for it. I thought it was a mitzvah. It says Achino, thank you. But it's later on. It's not before. It's the same language. He says Mishashe HaMitzvah. No. Now with the nun. The root of the mitzvah is ki hadona mitzvah otano al haTorah baruch hu b'tachlit hashleimut. The one, the God, the Almighty, He is whole and complete. B'chol ma'asav b'chol tzivuyav heim shleimim v'tovim. He knows what to do. He knows the rules. He knows how much to tell us to do. They're complete. His Torah is complete. V'hatosefet b'hen chisaron. You're adding to them is taking away from them. Okay. Right?
So how did the Rabbanim justify all
this? Okay.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Let's go back into that. Let's go back to the Kliyakar for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Avaloti gru'u mimenu lamali. Why do I need the mitzvah of loti gru'u? Ki hagorea achat mikol mitzvot Hashem kvahu mitzuva v'omei shelo ligro'a afilu achat mikol mitzvot. If I'm already commanded to keep the mitzvah, so if I say, well, I don't have to keep that mitzvah, why does the Torah Moshe need to tell me not to keep the mitzvah? It's almost like, well, you have to keep a mitzvah, when you violate the Torah, you have to, not only violating that mitzvah, you're violating the mitzvah of Lo Tigru'u. Why don't we need an extra mitzvah to tell me to keep the Torah? So he says the following. U'bechiburenu olalot Ephraim. He said, I wrote this essay, Olalot Ephraim. Ma'am rashin vehe, peirashnu Lo Tigru'u. So I explain the following. Lo Tigru'u, eino tzivui. It's not a commandment, Lo Tigru'u. Ella, Pirusho. It's an explanation. A very beautiful idea. Okay? I'm going to skip a little. Kach perush lo tosifu. The perush is, the meaning is, lo tosifu. Va'az memeila lo tigru'u. Because if you add, you will, by definition, detract. It says, lo tosifu, do not add, velo tigru'u mimenu. So that you do not detract from the Torah.
Lo tosifu, you would say,
is a mitzvah in the Torah. Lo tosifu is a mitzvah. That I understand. He says, but why tell me don't detract? He says, because when you add, you will detract. Kiman de avid ha, because if you do X, nafil b'ha. You fall in Y. V'hu kamo no tinat tam al lo tosifu. And this is the reason why lo tosifu. V'sham he rachnu. I'm in the second to last line. V'ulai smach inyan ze lekan. He says, maybe this is why, this is v'ata Yisrael ana. Because remember, Moshe started the Torah, the whole section, by saying, v'et chanan al Hashem, I wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, I wanted to go in. Ki me'en zehu me'en chet oshel Moshe. He says, perhaps this was the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki hu hosif b'haka'at hasela. Moshe Rabbeinu, God said to Moshe, you want water? Talk to the rock. And Moshe said, talk to the rock. I can go one better. I'm going to hit the rock. Ubeho safa, zo, and with this addition, bali de giraon be'emuna. He detracted in faith of God. La'ata, l'kach ne'emar, that's why it says, ve'ata Yisrael shema achokim. Ve'ata, what is ve'ata? And now, what is and now? In light of what I just told you, that I got kicked out of Eretz Canaan, that I couldn't go in. Why? Because I didn't listen. I added. Mahu ve'ata? Before this, and now, based on what I just told you, God wouldn't let me into Eretz Canaan. Why? Because I added. And by adding, I detracted.
It's such a fine line, the personal expression versus adding. Like, you're permitted personal expression within very specific limits, but these limits sound so limited.
Yes, they sound extremely limited. They sound more limited than...
actually live
them. Correct, doesn't it? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't even decide to hit the rock instead of talking to the rock. Although it was a direct divine, instruction to talk to the rock. Nonetheless,
there's actually very little implications to the difference. Meaning, right. If a rock produces water because you hit it or because you talk to it,
right? We don't understand.
The nation, right? The
same miracle.
Exactly, they're both miraculous.
Correct.
So
what's the difference, and why is he punished so severely? And what would that say for us adding? I'm just throwing things out.
But again, okay. You get back to this whole question about like all these Rabbanan things that...
Right. Right. What do we do with them? We'll get to them. The Chazal will talk about it. I'm not gonna leave you high and dry. But I will challenge you. I'm not going to leave you high and dry, but then again I will. Because that's what I do.
What?
Let's look at Ramban. We're going to look at Ramban, and then we're going to look at Chizkuni, who actually interpret. But all of them are struggling with this problem. Because it is the problem. How do we deal with this issue? What are we supposed to do? So Rashi addressed it, by the way, the Midrash addressed it. Midrash addressed it by saying, what is Lotos Baltosifun? Very clear, right? Very strict guidelines. The Torah says four, you say five. Torah says, you know, four parsha, now I'd like to add another one. But if the Rabbanan want to come along and say, well, you should, they add on restrictions, or they add on, you know, siyagim, that's not a problem. Because that's not fundamentally altering the Torah. The Torah is perfect. People aren't perfect. But the essence of the mitzvah, the way the Sforno said, the way the Kliyakar says it, doesn't really seem to fit that rule. Does it? No. That's a Ramban. Ramban says, Lo tosifu. Okay. Kegon chamesh parshiyo b'tifilin. He's going to quote Rashi. Kegon chamesh b'chamisha minim b'lulav, chamesh titziot. Here. Follow you. So cheese. Okay. V'chein lo tigre'u, lashon Rashi. V'chein amru b'sifrei. This is the sifrei. Sifrei is the midrash on Dvarim. Minayin shelo tosif alula ba'al tzitzit. How do we know tzitzit? The Chazal struggling with this problem. So they said, how do we know you can't add tzitzit and lulav? Tamu lot mar, lot tosifu. Do not add. Uminayin she'en pochtchati mehen. Tamu lot mar, lot tigre'u. It's interesting. And the Chazal pick on things that specifically have numbers. Right? It's something you can quantify. Four parshiyot. Four tzitziot. Four, you know what I'm saying? Four, what's it called? Four minim.
Well, that's what Rashi got.
He pulled it right from the Midrash. Okay, but they're picking numbers. So therefore, if I say, well, things that God said numbers, you can't add. Well, okay, I can deal with that. What about everything else? Well, you know, whatever. That's not a problem. He goes on. Minayin she'im patach livarech birchat kohanim. What's birchat kohanim? Birchat kohanim is specifically defined by the Torah. What's birchat kohanim? Yerecha Hashem yishmerecha, yerpan abilecha, etc., etc. Right? That, yishtah Hashem and abilecha, v'seim lecha shalom. And the guy says, "Lo yomar." A person shouldn't say, "Ho'ilu patachti devarech omar Hashem Elokei avotechem Yosef alechem." Hashem Elokei Yosef alechem vivrechetchem. That's bracha Moshe. Beautiful. So I'll say it too. I'll add on. Talmud lomar hadavar afilu davar lo tosif alav. One word. Don't even add one word. So now things get a little more murky. You telling me that the Kohanim, after they're done, they can't add anything? Nope.
Alright.
When the no, when the Kohanim say, what do you mean Arbic Kohanim? When the Kohanim get up in shul and they say Yerecha Hashem Yerecha. Yeah, yeah. The Kohanim.
The Kohanim actually bless the people.
What, no, in the Kohanim today, they're, what's the difference? The Kohanim are Mevarach.
Same,
same bracha. It's a mitzvah. It's a din. See, you're even limiting it more. This is the original. When they say it in shul, there's a bracha, there's a mitzvah with the Kohanim to bless the nation. So when they bless the nation, right?
When they do
that's why it's so troubling they don't do it in
the Kutai. They're doing a blessing from the Torah?
Yeah, you bless.
A mitzvah from the Torah?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
No, I thought it's like we're practicing for the future. Like, how can we do it here and we don't do it in full?
Great question.
The Zionistic reason about Simcha and...
Great question. Really, really tough question. Really, really tough question. I've never found an answer that satisfies me.
The one that Nishma says is...
The one that I used to write is...
When you're B'Simcha.
What?
And Kul, you only B'Simcha on Yom Tov, and here we're that much B'Simcha every day.
Right, but you're asking people to not fulfill a mitzvah d'oraita. It's a mitzvah d'oraita, quote to Brechu Ta'am for the Kohen. I don't really know. I really don't know. You know what I'm saying? People were too busy.
An extra mitzvah every day?
Yeah. Well, the Kohen, doing, like, I love Brecha Kohen. I think about it. I like, you know, you try to feel it in a sense. You know
I remember being a little girl and running into the men's section to go into my father's college.
Right.
And that was...
I'm not even talking about that, the additional, like, family aspect. I don't know if you ask my sons if they think this, I'm pretty sure they would. There's a certain closeness that you get just from that quiet, silent, together time. You know what I'm saying? That we have it every Shabbat when we're around, even in a weekday. You know what I'm saying? Something nice. I don't know. That's a beautiful minhag. But why they don't say mechutz laaretz? There are halachic reasons about the simcha, like you said. I've never really understood them. I always thought that, you know, there's a story about, I think, in some shul that they wanted to do it, and then they decide, okay, this week we're going to do it in shul, and the shul burned down. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I think it was either, they said that, the Vilna Gaon or the Chavetz Chaim, somebody who's listening will tell me what the story is. What? And they said, we don't care about that, we don't listen to that, that has no influence, we don't, like, there's no gzeirut from Shemayim, we're going to do it anyway. They rebuilt the shul, we're doing it on such and such a week, as soon as the shul opens, the shul burned down again. And they said, okay, we don't listen to these things, but we're not going to do it anymore.
Then the Bat Kol came out.
I remember clearly that I wrote that answer, like, because I remember clearly that was one of the questions. Like, they used to have these things called the MBATs, these Mishnah Berurah aptitude tests in YU, that you had to study, like, some section of Mishnah Berurah on your own. They just sort of this, and then you had to take this test. And I, of course, they never taught it, they never gave it to you, and so I never studied it, and I just took the test. That was the answer that I wrote on my test. It was marked wrong. Anyway.
Because the shul burned down?
Yeah, because the shul burned down. they didn't like that answer. Anyway, says the Ramban, Avalo be'ele bilvad amru. The Midrash says the following. That's not it. Ela af hayashen besukah b'shmini b'chavana loke. Someone who sleeps in the sukkah with intent an extra night is loke, gets malkut.
B'chavana
l'shem
mitzvah.
He has l'shem mitzvah.
And Shabbal.
He adds the same
Dr. Chevelle.
Yeah. Kimoshi, we're going to come back to this. Kimoshi, we're going to come back to this.
How many people sleeping in the sukkah on the first 7 nights are doing it b'chavana l'shem mitzvah?
Hopefully. Why else would you sleep in the sukkah?
Right, but do you do it like...
Of course.
Like you say,
believe me, I wouldn't sleep in the sukkah. It wasn't l'shem mitzvah.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Kemoshin Muskar bin Muskar Mesachad Rosh Hashanah. That's actually a Mishnah, Mesachad Rosh Hashanah. Chenim Yaseh Chag Shisha Over Belav Zev. You make the Chag 6 days, not 7 days. Ulefi Da'ati.
What if you're from America and you keep 7 days instead of 8 days?
Afilu Da'ati, Afilu Bedal Asot Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. What if a guy says, you know, I want to create, I love Hashem so much, I'm going to make my Yom Aliyah a Yom Tov. And I'm going to make it a Yom Aliyah, I'm going to wear Shabbos, I'm going to make Kiddush that day, I'm not going to wear Tefillah, I'm going to make it a Chag. They celebrate it as a chag. Kegon she'asa chag b'chodesh b'dam libo ki yiravam. Yiravam said this. That's over belav. Okay, that's also a violation of belav. V'kach amru.
What did yiravam do?
He added a chag. He wanted to make a chag on his own. Okay. V'kach, but then that raises another issue, which is you can't add chagim. V'kach amru le'inyan mikram megila. Remember what they added? Rabbanan added chagim. Added
Hanukkah
and Purim. 180 Nevi'im amru lehem Yisrael, v'lo pachtu v'lo hosifu. Right? You had a ton of Nevi'im before the time of the Megillah. There were things that happened to the Jewish people, good and bad. You know? And they didn't add. It's very interesting. When was the first Beit HaMikdash consecrated?
What do you mean, when was it?
When was it consecrated? What day was it consecrated? On Sukkot.
Like,
One could argue that it was intentionally consecrated on a day that was already a Chag.
Right.
In order that they not suggest that there would be an extra Chag. Because that was a momentous day in Jewish history. It was a momentous day. It was an eternal day in Jewish history. Anyway. Okay, so all these Nevi'im stood out and lived before, and they didn't add. Other than Migra Megillah, my Dersh, etc. He says, Ubi Yushami. Yushami has a different version. Shmonim b'chamisha zikainim.
Instead of Nevi'im.
Umehem kama Nevi'im. Among them, hayu mitzta'arim al hadavar. They were upset at the institution of Purim. Amru katuv eila ha-mitzvot asher tzisva Hashem et Moshe. It says, these are the mitzvot. Eila mitzvot shenisabu misha. Kach amar lumo neman Moshe. Moshe said to us, these are the mitzvot. Ve'ein navi achad atid l'chadesh davar mikem. And nobody else wants to add a thing. U'morachai ve'ester rotzim l'chadesh lanu davar. And who are you, like Mordechai and Esther, like, don't get me wrong, but who do you think you are to add another mitzvah? Lo zazu misha nos'im v'notnim b'davar ad she'i'ir HaKadosh Baruch Hu enehem. That somehow, Megillah, and I guess later on also Chanukah, these two mitzvot, they had a special enlightenment, we'll say, to allow them to institute them.
No pun intended.
Hare, shaita ha-mitzvah hazo asur lahem. They saw this as a prohibition. Like, who are we to add days? Imken hi bichlal lo tosif alav. So then this is also considered part of the prohibition of Baal Tosif. Ela shelo lamadu lemosif, ela shelo lamadu lemosif al pi navi, ela min hakatuv shelamar ela hamitzvot. So we learn not to add from the word ela hamitzvot. En navi rashai lechadesh bo davar me'ata. He says, a navi is not allowed to add, to be mechadesh, anything in the Torah. Even, they thought it was a problem to add chagim midrabanan.
Even, and if he does, he's considered a navi shakir.
Right. But now becomes his other. God says he wants to do this more or less. He's a navi shakir.
Like Jesus.
Well, it could be argued what Jesus was said to do. He wanted to emphasize and de-emphasize. Well, that leaves us with a problem. What do we do with?
Siag.
All the siag. Umash tiknu chachamim mishum gader. He says, but that which chachamim instituted because of a gader, kigon shniot la'arayot. What is a shniot la'arayot? So there are prohibited biblical sexual relationships. Your mother, your sister. What about your mother's mother? What about your mother's sister? Right? I don't remember exactly those. But the Chachamim came along and they added a bunch of them, many of them. They're called Shniyot La'arayot. You get, like, what about reheating food on Shabbat? What about a plata? What about, like, a list of gazillion things? Like, most of the things I said that we keep. What about Muktzah? There is no concept of Muktzah in the Torah. It doesn't exist. All these things, the Chachamim Hosifu, okay? Zohi mitzvah min haTorah. It says, no, that's a mitzvah min haTorah. Ubilvad sheyeda shehi mishum geder hazeh. Ve'einam mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah. It says, but you have to know, they are the geder, they aren't the mitzvah. So he says,
means.
Yeah?
I mean, that you have to educate yourself, and you have to educate your children, even
Chachamim have to educate us.
Even the girls, they have to know that it's of critical importance to know which is mitzvah, which is geder. Is geder what we call mitzvah drabanan?
What? Yes, any mitzvah drabanan is geder.
Any mitzvah drabanan.
Sure, of course. There's only two mitzvot asay. Everything else is a lota asay. Everything else is an asara. There's only two positive things Chacham said you have to do, and that is lighting the menorah and nikra megillah. Those are only two mitzvot. Everything else.
As
an Azhara, Isurim. Geder. Fence. Susia.
What's so important to know the difference if.
He says, because otherwise, what's going to happen if you think it's all the same?
Otherwise, you're violating Baal Tosif.
And.
He said.
And
when the sky doesn't fall down when you pick up a set of keys, you're going to say, well, if it doesn't fall down now, what difference does it make if I start my car?
Right. Very good. What's the difference between this and that?
There's a difference for post-game. On what what you're allowed to break more easily.
Of course, the post game. They post game know it. I'm not worried about the post game.
He's saying we have to know.
Do we treat Geder like Geder, or do we distinguish today?
In practice?
Yes.
Practice there's no distinction.
There is no distinction.
In attitude.
Well,
we absolutely do not.
We encourage people not to make
a
choice.
We absolutely do not.
Because then people say, oh, it's only a Dzirabana. And then they think that they don't have to keep it. So we encourage, we encourage that it's like a backwards kind of thing. Because people will say, well, oh, it's only, for example, let's say Tisha B'Av, okay? Well, it's only a Dzirabana. So, and I'm a female.
Let's say hachakot. Let's say bestot. Let's say all the things that, you know, you teach to your students.
So when you say it's only
let's say two tikkot a day. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, you know, it's only an asara. Mocha, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right? But, so we tell people, no, you have to.
No, you can't distinguish between.
Correct. What about 5 days? What about the 5 days? We don't budge on that ever.
Never.
Right? The one? It's hard to do. Very rarely.
I don't hold that with
you. Chamesh, no, the 5 days. Those 5 days. I'm saying the
5 days prep before you
don't, before don't you can do the.
I'm not
a Sephardi posse. I'm even a Ashkenazi posse. Okay, but there's a danger. It's a serious danger. Okay.
There's definitely a difference. But what I was talking about married is that women take from their mothers.
So I say we don't.
5 days.
Let's get back. I threw that out. Let's get back. We don't make that distinction, but that, because we don't, there's a danger. And what's we don't talk about the opposite danger. We never talk about this danger. It's overburdening. It's overbearing. There is no. It doesn't leave. Excuse me. It doesn't leave any. There's no leeway, and there's no because we say it's a drabana, so I have to do it anyway. So we don't make a distinction. There is if there is no room, and it's all if and then all the gedarim are all those then. There aren't, not everyone is built in such a way that they have no problem with all the additional restrictions and additional restrictions and additional restrictions. And I believe, you could challenge me on this, but some people find it overwhelming and overbearing and they buckle under the structure of built upon. Sure. And without that leeway, without that give that was built in, the Chazal built it in, they said, no, there's a getter. Okay, but what happens if the getter becomes destructive? So how many times the Gemara says, in that case, lo tiknu chazal? The Gemara says it, but we don't live in a time where we apply that. We just apply it universally.
If a guy finds Shabbat it. Too hard, they're going to tell him.
Not Shabbat. Which Shabbat?
One second.
Not if a guy finds it. I think I'm guilty of this too. The chazal made this case, if a guy finds Shabbat too hard, but what part of Shabbat does he find too hard? Which aspect?
Let's say muksa. Let's say anything.
Not if he finds too hard. No, I find it too hard. No, we're not going to say that. But muksa in which situation? Under what circumstance? How pressing is the need?
I've had these sorts of...
You know what I'm saying? There is leeway.
If you can move muksa or not, that's part of the halakha. It's built in. The rabbis built it in.
Correct. That's my point. As opposed to people thinking, no, muksa, I can't touch it. So that's making that distinction. But that's what Raman says, to make that distinction, to be aware of that distinction. Yeah. As opposed to what Rina said, I've got to wrap it up soon. Yeah. Okay. You got to see the Chizkuni. You must see the Chizkuni. First of all, okay? First of all, remember the Ramban said, I have to read you the Pirush HaRush. I have this in the back of, you have it in the back of yours. Remember the Ramban said, by the way, and also you're not allowed to sleep in a sukkah on, if you sleep in a sukkah on 8 days,
with Kavanah.
Okay? Comes along the Rush and says, Shim Tosi V'tigru'u V'chol HaMosif Korea. Okay, 5 tt, blah, blah, blah. He says, Aval im yashabta shmoneh yamin basukah lo garata. But if you slept in the sukkah for an 8th night, that's not so bad. Why would the Rush come along and say this? And when he knows what the Ramban said, he read the Ramban. The Ramban said, sleep in the sukkah on the 8th night? And he adds v'chavana. But he just says, remember the Ramban says.
Ramban said
b'chavana. Moshe b'chavana. Right, the same mitzvah.
I mean, in other words, Ramban, just reading the Ramban, it could sound like he's doing it b'chavana, like you're being mazed to.
No. I mean, and chavana to fulfill the mitzvah. Chavana to the mitzvah. But why would the Rush say? Why would the Rush say it's okay? And the Ramban would the Rush specifically says. No. The Ramban was all sfarad all the way, right? So there was never a chumrah. In the Sephardi communities of sleeping in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, they never had that chumrah. But Ashkenazi communities, but Ashkenazim do sleep in the sukkah on the 8th night. We do sit in the sukkah on the 8th night. So it's a big machloket about sleeping in the sukkah on the 8th night, right?
Between Ashkenazim and Sephardi.
Yeah, it's a big machloket ha-minhag. Like some Ashkenazim don't do it, Hasidim don't do it.
Meaning if you're allowed to add it?
What's that is, well, the Ashkenazim don't do it because everybody agrees there's no, not 8 days. But is Shemini Atzeret Sveger the Yoma of the seventh day of Sukkot or not?
In Chutzlaretz.
So in Chutzlaretz, the Ashkenazim did sleep on the Sukkot on the eighth day. Aye, Shemini Atzeret. How could you sleep on the Sukkot on Shemini Atzeret? So, well, we're not sleeping on the Sukkot because it's Shemini Atzeret. We're sleeping on the Sukkot because it's Sveger the Yoma of the seventh day of Sukkot. So the Rosh came from the communities of Ashkenaz in which they did sleep in the Sukkah. So he says, oh, don't worry, it's okay. Logarata, you're not violating this principle.
I don't want people to interpret what the Ramban is saying.
But the Ramban did live there. Okay. So the Ramban, I'm going to read the Chizkuni. Chizkuni is very, very important. Okay, he says, Davar Acher. If you see in the middle of the Chizkuni. Lo Tosiful Hadavar Tshuvahi Leminei Yisrael. This is an answer, I have to give you an answer to the Apikorsim. Shehipakru ala Talmud. They had a question about the Gemara. How are the Chachamim add all these things that are not in the Torah? Hare Katuv, it says, Lo tosifu v'lo tigru mimenu. Yimachu misefer achayim. These people should be blotted out of the blood of life to challenge the Rabbanan in the Gemara. Why? Hare tshuvah l'divrahem. I'll give you the answer. Hare lashon ze eino rak bishnei mekomot b'Torah. This language only appears in two places. This language only applies to godliness and fear of God. Kolomar, you shouldn't add to the fear of God another fear, meaning another God. And you should not withhold from his fear. Aval, he says, look what he says. Aval b'mitzvah de'alma lo yisir HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo lehosif kedei la'asot siyag v'gedr le'Torah. He says something shocking, very shocking. He says something exactly the opposite of what Rashi says. Rashi says, oh, it's about mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Comes on Chizkuni and says, to answer our fundamental problem. He says, isn't the whole Gemara adding on to the Torah? You know what the Chizkuni says? How does he answer that question? Sorry? He says, yes. He says, it is an addition to the Torah. He says, well, the Torah never prohibited from adding to the Torah. Hashem wants us to add to the Torah. It's almost like, I read this. No, Tosafis, don't add to the gods that you fear. It's only in the context of Avodah Zarah. Only in the context of Lo Tosif and Allah Davar.
He's totally contradicting the Midrash.
Totally contradicting the Midrash.
And Chazal.
And Halacha. He's like, you know this halacha, you know this. You're throwing out Chizkuni.
I'm not throwing out Chizkuni.
It's shocking. What's so shocking about Chizkuni is Chizkuni is justifying our question. He's saying, oh, it's a good question. Don't worry. That mitzvah is not what you think it means.
It says, Lishmart mitzvah Hashem.
But what's the problem? The problem is, according, hey, Chizkuni, what do you do with the halacha? Don't you also assume, like, the halacha says there's a mitzvah in the chinuch. It's brought down as the diraisa of Baal Tosif.
So he says, Lo Tosif al Elokecha.
So you don't believe that the mitzvah, you don't believe in that mitzvah of don't add mitzvahs? What the Chizkuni says actually is, you know, isn't it adding mitzvah? Actually it is.
He's contradicting
it is.
A major...
I had to get to that. Is that shocking?
Yes.
It's shocking. Baruch Hashem. What I'm saying is, Chazal struggled with this problem, and they did not come to a satisfactory resolution to the problem. And I said, I'm always going to push your buttons. But what does that mean? But that means it's not a problem that has a simple solution. It's a problem that requires walking a fine line. The Chazal always tried to tread. There is Baal Tosif, and there is a problem with Baal Tosif, but they felt the need to add in certain situations because otherwise the benefit of not adding outweighed the cost. Because there's human solution. Because we're human. What I ask you is, I'm going to start where I finished where I started. How far have we gone? This is a really, really sticky subject. When an event described in the Mishnah is considered beyond the pale of something anyone halachic would even consider doing. And it's a fundamental question. It's a fundamental problem. Can we ever go back? You know what I'm saying? To like... Have we, in our desire to adhere to the rules of the Torah, pushed so far that we're, you know what I'm saying? Like we talk about Judaism, Torah Judaism doesn't speak to the majority of Jews. It doesn't. It speaks to a minority. We're only 20%. 15% if we're lucky. Right? Could it be that part of it is we ask too much? We demand too much?
I don't think that's fair.
Really?
You think at the time of the Mishnah that was normative?
Yeah.
You do? You think rabbinic Judaism was normative Judaism at the time?
You're saying rabbinic Judaism was normative Judaism?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Everybody practiced something. Really? So you're saying rabbinic Judaism wasn't normative Judaism?
No.
We got to get to a point where everybody keeps everything, or everybody keeps enough, where everybody says, "This is my Torah, and this is what, and I'm going to keep it." And we're at a point now where the majority of Jews in the world say, "They don't say that." So you have two choices. So either we're going to lose them all as Jews, we're going that way. That we're very good at, right? They say, "Well, I don't want to keep it," so and then we lose them. Or something's got to give because all our efforts at Kiruv, these are great things we do, you know. Great Alonim, Ayin Yeshua, and we're going to do the Tefillin and the Kotel. They know. We're at the point where they know. And they want to keep some. But all of it. Most, you know what I'm saying? All of it.
What are you suggesting? It doesn't make sense what you're suggesting. That it's too difficult, so let's let go of some of it. Let's say that's too difficult, so you know, keep what you like.
You're putting words in my mouth. I'm not suggesting that.
I'm asking
a question. I'm asking, how is it that in the Mishnah it was okay and today it's not? And what's the cost of adding siyag and siyag and siyag? And chizkuni, what?
It doesn't sound like that's siyag.
The siyag, what's that kid?
No, we've added siyag to what they did in the Mishnah.
That's
so
what I'm saying. It doesn't sound like
a point.
Siyag to say a man looking at a woman dancing is siyag. I thought
it's aser.
Excuse me.
It's even harder because the.
Why is it aser? Is it aser d'oraita or aser d'rabbanan? Is it aser d'oraita or d'rabbanan?
I'm going to go with the Rabbanan.
Correct. Of course it's actually the Rabbanan. It's a siyag. So only the most extreme poskim would say, no, that's an Isser of Arayot. It's not an Isser of Arayot. It's an Isser together of Arayot. Correct? Isser together of Arayot. An appropriate getter of Arayot. Okay? But maybe not getter of Arayot. Why do we suffer from a shidduch crisis? Because we have such getter of Arayot that boys and girls never meet. Are you really surprised? Really? What's the cost? There's a cost.
We asked Rabbanan if we should have mixed seating at our wedding.
No way. Oh, they said yes?
That's not what I heard.
They said yes, you had it?
Do you want your other friends to get married?
100%. So how come all weddings aren't like that? How come all weddings aren't like that? How come all weddings aren't like that? How come every wedding should be like that? And if you did it, they would, I promise you, if at my son's wedding, we'll have mixed seating, I'll say, no, all the kids are going to have mixed seating for the boys and the girls. I guarantee you most of them will divide and sit at separate tables.
Naturally.
Is that natural? Is that what we're supposed to do? And it's not an Arayot situation. It's a wedding. It's Simchat Mereyut, right? They're dressed beautifully. They're dressed appropriately.
You're speaking out of two sides of your mouth.
I am. You know why? Because it's a fine line. You don't think so? Because this is a line that we're trying to walk.
No, 2 weeks ago, you were upset that there was a mixed shiur for Noar on a Friday night. You were so upset to the point that you felt the need to say something, and then they separated it.
Yeah, and then the next week they didn't.
And you didn't say anything. But
did our son go?
No, he
Why?
Didn't. I think it's your fault.
That's my fault.
I do.
We'll talk to him later. Okay. I agree with you.
Ago.
All right. Stop here.